Hello, everyone. Happy Monday morning, or whatever day or time it is where you are. I am currently working on an assignment the Holy Spirit seemed to give me. It was some specific readings within A Course in Miracles on teaching. And what I am doing in Awakenings until this assignment is complete is I am just going through the sections that the Holy Spirit gave me to read. I'm simply reading them and then saying whatever comes into my mind. And again, sometimes what comes into my mind is as I'm reading, I will notice a judgment or an ego thought in my mind as I'm reading. And what I do is I just stop and I go ahead and expose that thought and let it go. So that's some of what I've been doing. Other times as I'm reading, clarity comes through and I stop and I share that clarity. So that's really all I'm doing. I'm just kind of stepping through this assignment that the Holy Spirit gave me. There was a piece of clarity that came through over the weekend. I had this feeling that what I've already read, that I wasn't done with it yet. It was just this feeling. So I went back and read again the few paragraphs we've made it through because we've been moving very slowly. And I did find some additional things, one of which was a piece of clarity that the Holy Spirit gave me on a question that I had that I hadn't stopped to ask. So I thought I would share that with you. The piece that I'm working with now is in A Course in Miracles, and it is Chapter 4, Section 1, called Right Teaching and Right Learning. And the paragraph that I went back and found that I had a question on was Paragraph 2. And in Paragraph 2, about halfway through the paragraph, it starts talking about spirit and ego and how they are in opposition, and it says that they are therefore not in communication and can never be in communication. And when I read that sentence, I realized that sentence didn't make sense to me. And the reason it didn't make sense to me is that since I've been working with the Holy Spirit and learning from the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit has shown me is that communication is always, always going on. In fact, the one thing that can't be stopped or blocked is communication. So when I read that the ego and the Holy Spirit are not in communication and can never be in communication, that seemed to say that A Course in Miracles was saying there is a block or there is a truth split. And I didn't really understand that. So I just went to the Holy Spirit. When I don't understand something, I try not to use my thinking mind to figure it out. I found that's not helpful at all. Instead, what I do is I just realize I don't know, and I go to the Holy Spirit and I ask for an answer. So I went to the Holy Spirit and I said, A Course in Miracles says that ego and spirit are not in communication and can never be in communication. This seems to imply a truth split when the purpose of A Course in Miracles is to teach that the separation never occurred. Will you address this seeming contradiction within the text? So that was my question, and this is the answer that the Holy Spirit gave me. The ego is not real. Anyone perceiving a true split also perceives the ego as real, but this is never the case. Mind is all that is. Even perception is a product of mind, and mind is always shared. This is why perception can seem to be shared so that two seemingly separate minds witness the same event, which is not occurring at all, like the rain. Seeing the rain from different sets of eyes when the rain doesn't exist is an example of sharing perception. Perception can be shared in this way because spirit is one and spirit is in communication always. Now, it's helpful to know a little bit about quantum physics, and in fact, I only know a little bit about quantum physics. I've seen the movie What the Bleep, And I think we did one chapter on quantum physics in eighth grade science. And it's so funny. I don't remember anything from eighth grade science except for that one chapter because it was so amazing to me. So I have very limited knowledge of what quantum physics teaches. But I do know that quantum physics teaches that the material world is not there. In fact, what I remember from eighth grade science was my teacher telling me that the table that was right in front of me is not there, and that I only perceive that it is there. And this is what the Holy Spirit is referring to in this paragraph, that, for example, when it seems to be raining, the rain is not there. That is just a perception. But the reason that I and all of my neighbors who seem to be in the same area perceive the same rainstorm is because we aren't separate minds. We are one mind sharing perception. So we are sharing the exact same perception and perceiving it as real. And in fact, you'll remember in the Bible, Jesus told us that our faith could move mountains. That is a very literal statement. If our one mind, not the seeming individual mind, but if our one mind realized what it was and decided to relocate Pikes Peak within our perception, we could do that as with our one mind, because it is completely shared communication that causes us to seem to experience Pikes Peak where Pikes Peak is. So this is what the Holy Spirit is saying here, that seeing the rain through two different sets of eyes when the rain doesn't exist is an example of sharing perception. Perception can be shared in this way because spirit is one and spirit is in communication always. However, at the same time, the mind has a belief in separateness or ego, and the mind as one agrees to experience this belief, so it seems to partition the mind. It limits one aspect of mind to one perspective of shared perception, and it limits another aspect of mind to another perspective, so that separation seems real. Yet, it is not real, because even these limits are held in place through decision in one mind. In this way, even the limits are communicated. So, for example, Jaya, the reason that I cannot read your mind and that you cannot read my mind is because our one mind has agreed to believe there's a limit there. And we have agreed to believe within the one mind that that limit cannot be crossed. And we behave according to those imaginary laws that we've made up in our mind. But even those laws are communicated and we follow them through our shared oneness. So the Holy Spirit continues, communication is a constant fact that cannot be interrupted for a single instant. The separation is not real, but the ego is the belief in separation, and this belief experiences the effects of communication without recognizing it as the effects of communication. So, for example, we are all experiencing computers and internet and words on a screen as something real. When it isn't something real, it is simply the effects of communication. Just as rain is the effects of communication, table is the effects of communication, Pike's Peak is the effects of communication. However, we don't realize those things are all the same. We think that maybe Pal Talk is some sort of shared communication, but this table right here is not a shared communication, or the rain is not shared communication. So the ego experiences shared communication without acknowledging that's what it is. The ego says the rain is not shared communication, the rain is rain. All right, it thinks it knows what it is. And this is what these very early course lessons are trying to teach us. So the ego does experience constant communication, but it does not acknowledge that that is what it's experiencing. It says it's experiencing a real world, real rain, a real table. So again, the ego is the belief in separation, and this belief experiences the effects of communication without recognizing it as the effects of communication. In this way, ego does not communicate with spirit because it is not aware of the communication that cannot cease. At the same time, spirit is only aware of communication and cannot respond to imaginary blocks to communication. In this way, spirit does not acknowledge ego's insistence in blocks and isn't in communication with the idea of division. So spirit fully understands what the rain is, and spirit fully understands what the computer is and what the desk is. And in fact, we'll remember from our early lessons in A Course in Miracles, there's a place in there where Jesus tells us if we understood what the table was, we could become enlightened from the table. This is what the Holy Spirit sees. The Holy Spirit sees only communication in one mind. The Holy Spirit perceives no separateness whatsoever. So you can see how the ego and the Holy Spirit look at the exact same thing, and they see it entirely differently. And this is really why A Course in Miracles says that the ego and spirit are not in communication. It does not mean that there's a true block or that there's a true split. It simply means that the ego will not acknowledge the shared communication, and the spirit will not acknowledge the imagined blocks. So they aren't acknowledging each other's laws. Are there any questions about that particular sharing from the Holy Spirit? Okay, well, I thought that was pretty enlightening, so I was glad that I had that. Oh, Jaya, please go ahead.
It's easy to accept what you say, because in the moment that Holy Spirit has said is totally acceptable, it feels very freeing. But what about the me?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, Jaya. In fact, what I have been noticing increasingly is that when people say I, when I'm listening to people say I, not everyone means the same thing when they say I anymore. And by that, of course, I'm referring to in Pal Talk. When my neighbors say I, they still very much are referring to the personal me. But I'm noticing that when I listen to everyone in Pal Talk, that I have to pay a lot more attention because, yeah, the I is shifting. Exactly. So one person may say I, and they may be fully referring to the personal me, you know, the partitioned. Another person is saying I, and they are beginning to accept a broader version of that word. So it's really interesting to notice that we do not have the same answer. One thing that came up both last night with Jeffrey Lake and the night before when I was teaching was the statement, for example, I am God. And what I was teaching on Saturday night was about a point when I was working with the Holy Spirit in Revelation, and I came to that place in my mind where I saw what we are, and what we are is God. I mean, I saw that truth, and it can't be denied. And in fact, I saw it so clearly that what I explained to the group was I turned and ran. This was not something that I was ready to accept, because accepting that meant letting go of everything familiar, including the little I. So it wasn't something that I was ready to accept, and I did run from it. I didn't grasp it with both arms, but I saw it. And that's really important, because I now know something at a conscious level that I did not know at a conscious level before, and the way to word that is I am God. And it has to be worded as I am God. I mean, I can say we are God, and sometimes I do, but at the point of realization that I really hit, you have to say I am God. And the reason you have to say I am God is because there was no other. There was no we. There was no me and it. Or, you know, there was only this oneness. That's all existed. So I am could only be that oneness. So you have to say, I am God. But last night, what somebody said to Jeffrey Lake is, you know, there are a lot of people running around saying, I am God. And I realized through Jeffrey's answer that even those words, I am God, could be coming from the part of me that is letting go of my identity and accepting my truth Or it could be coming still from the ego. If I still see myself as Regina, the personal me, and I'm saying I am God, it may be that I'm realizing the power of my mind, but I'm not yet letting go of my false identity. And so I may use that to, for example, manifest money. That's kind of like what The Secret teaches. The Secret teaches I am God at the level of, The Secret teaches I am God at the level of still believing in personal self. And so it teaches me the power of the mind, which, as Jeffrey pointed out, is a helpful stepping stone. But I'm still believing that I can create myself. So I can, you know, create the romantic relationship. I can create the money. I'm still using my I am Godness in a false way to build a false identity. That is not the I am God that I saw. The I am God that I saw would be completely letting go of the personal. The personal no longer existed whatsoever. And in fact, I think the best way for us to get in touch with that I am God is by laying down the thinking mind. In fact, the most powerful sentences that we can say and feel in our mind is, I don't know anything. I need do nothing. I want nothing. And when I say, I don't know anything, I need do nothing, I want nothing, and I fully accept that in my thinking mind, that kind of shuts the thinking mind down, at least for a moment. It stills the thinking mind. And that's when the other voice that we call the Holy Spirit rises up within us, the one that does know I am God and is able to guide us. So I'm going round and round your question, Jaya, but the personal I, yippee, you like the way I'm going round and round it. The personal I actually fades away as the I am God is grasped. So it's not using the power of the mind to build up the personal I. It's recognizing that the personal I is a falseness and this false limit. And it's completely laying it down so we can realize the truth of the I am God. And in fact, I just made a really cool post this morning that you all might want to check out. It's called God Ate the Waffle. Wait, let me see if I have a printout. If I do, I'll just read it to you. I may have printed it. Yes, I did. I printed it. So let me read this to you. This is a post I made this morning called God Ate the Waffle. This is a true story. The only part of it that isn't true is that half of this conversation actually happened last night and half of the conversation happened this morning, and I figured those details would just muddle the story, so I kind of rewrote it as if it all happened at the same time. Other than that, every word of it is true. I just simplified it, you know, so that it would be easier to read and follow. But here's the story. This is a true story. It happened last night and this morning. Last night, my 9-year-old daughter and I had a discussion about God. I asked her, what do you think God is? She answered, everyone and all of our love put together. I asked, if we are God, why do we get grumpy sometimes? And my daughter didn't have an answer. So I said, I think it's because we forget who we are. If I forget that I am God, I forget to act like God. If I forget that my friends and family are God, I forget to treat them like God. And my daughter replied, oh yeah, I knew that. I just forgot. Now here's where actually the rest of the conversation happened the next morning. So that was all that really happened last night. And then this morning I said to my daughter, I'm really happy to see that you remember God within your mind. I can't wait until you grow up so I can see how God blossoms within you. You know, as you grow and God blossoms, jasmine will fade. My daughter, Jasmine, raised one eyebrow. So I looked at her and I said, why do you think jasmine will fade? And she smiled, because God takes over. I said, that's right. Have you seen Mama fading since God has been blossoming in me? She answered, yep, and she seemed very, very sure of her answer. So I asked her, can you give me an example? And my daughter said, like this morning, when I threw that waffle at you, you would have got mad and put me on timeout or something, but God just ate the waffle. And, you know, I yeah, there you go, Dave has posted it. God just ate the waffle. And I was really inspired by what she said, because I knew she was exactly right. That is a perfect example of the personal Regina fading and letting the Holy Spirit, or the I am God, that voice within me, the one that knows what I am, have more and more authority within my life. Because she's right. I would have got really mad at her for throwing that waffle at me. And in fact, I would have thought I had to teach her a lesson. I would have thought she disrespected me. All kinds of judgments around that. And this morning, none of that happened. I did literally. The waffle didn't have syrup or anything on it, and it fell in a, you know, it just fell on the bed. She eats in bed in the morning. I literally just picked it up and just started eating it. And there was nothing in my mind at all, no judgment. So at that time, that Regina had faded, and it was the Holy Spirit, and she saw it. So that's what the personal eye does, Jaya. The personal eye fades away, and as my daughter said, God takes control, and that happens more and more and more as we're willing to lay that thinking mind aside and remember that I know nothing, I need do nothing, and I don't want anything. That eye being the little eye. The little eye knows nothing. The little eye need do nothing, and the little eye wants nothing. And as I lay that completely down and surrender fully, then the I am God, or at least the voice that knows I am God, rises and leads even within the illusion. So, Jaya, did that answer your question okay?
Somehow, when you said it just now, yes, it opened up a whole new dimension. Thank you so much for your warmth and your love and your immense connection with the Holy Spirit, and for sharing it with us. Love you.
Yeah, and in fact, I'm noticing that David just posted a quote from Peter and Lisa that says, "We are and have everything right now in complete abundance." And I have been with Lisa and Peter as they say that. I've been in the room with them as they say that. And I mean physically, not just in pal talk. I know Peter's here now. I'm talking about I've been in their kitchen as they say that. And, you know, I remember the first time Lisa and Peter said that to me, I did not fully accept that in my mind yet. And only about 4 days later, I went through a lot of experiences, and 4 days later I stood in their kitchen with them again, and I heard them say that again, and I found that I do accept that. And I'm finding that I accept that more and more and more, the I need do nothing, I don't know anything, I don't want anything. I am finding that those sentences, which at one time sounded insane to me, it just sends my heart flying when I say them, because I understand that's where my true power is. My true power is in laying down that ego completely. My true power is in realizing I don't know what anything is for. Then the Holy Spirit can step in if I can do that. My true power is in knowing I need do nothing. Then the Holy Spirit can step in and lead me in what I do if I can truly realize that. And I am really realizing that my true, true power is I don't want anything except what the Holy Spirit wants. And when I can get my mind to a place of I don't want anything except what the Holy Spirit wants, but I have no personal wants, the Holy Spirit can just take my hand and lead me anywhere, and it makes me soar. That's how I feel. I soar and soar with those three sentences. So I actually looked it up this morning out of curiosity, because what I'm finding is that full surrender to the Holy Spirit is all that I want now, and I'm practicing it and looking for opportunities to practice it. Because that's really what I want, is to lay down that thinking mind and full surrender to the Holy Spirit. I actually went and looked up the word surrender in A Course in Miracles. And do you know that word does not show up once in A Course in Miracles? Not once. Which I thought was very, very interesting. But I still know that's what I want to do. And in fact, it does show up in the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. In the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, there's a place where we're talking about expectations. The Holy Spirit is talking about expectations. And the Holy Spirit tells us that we should only really have one expectation. And in fact, the Holy Spirit says something like, you know what that expectation is because I'm the one that gave that expectation to you. And that expectation is that you should surrender to me. And that's the only expectation that you should have, is that you are going to fully surrender. Beyond that, have no expectations. They will only lead you to judge. So I didn't do any of my reading today, but that's perfect. Because this is exactly what's been on my mind, Jaya, for the last 2 or 3 days. Everything that I'm talking about now, this is what I am teaching myself in my mind and wanting to go deeper and deeper and further with it. So it's really wonderful to have had the opportunity to just sit here and talk about it. But surrendering the personal I, that is my personal goal. That is what I am practicing right now. And like I said, I look for opportunities to practice that. All right, so Peter, I have many, many times stolen minutes from you, and now I think I'm done 2 minutes early, so I'm going to pay you back. My dear brother, I love you, and I will be back on Friday morning. Bye-bye.